Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
Ron Wolfley. What is up? Witch Buster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It is Friday. Technically still Friday morning. Luke Lipinski, Ron Wolfley here for the next 4 hours. And, Wolf, we are edging closer to, I think, a big football weekend across the board. You got ASU in a top 25 matchup tomorrow, and you got a Cardinals game that I think is going to go a long way to showing us what this team is on Sunday.
Yeah, the blood sport is going to be on display for all to see. There's no denying that. It was on display last night, as a matter of fact, wasn't it? Another great Thursday night game.
What is going on?
Two in a row, baby.
That's got to be a record. Back-to-back good Thursday night games. Not quite as good as Tampa-Dallas last week because, let's be honest, Washington and the Giants aren't as talented as those teams, but what a thrilling finish.
Yeah, that is it right there. It's one of the reasons why we are the Wu Fan Clan in the Wolfley compound. I can tell you, Luke, we love watching football. It doesn't matter. Just give us a good game. Give us a competitive game. It doesn't matter what the reputations of the teams are coming into the game. Are you kidding me? Watch the game and say, is this good football that you're watching right now? Last night, it was good football that you were watching. I know the New York Giants don't have this reputation. Boy, they're going to make a lot of noise this year. I know the Washington football team doesn't have this reputation. Man, they're going to rule this year. I understand we're talking about the NFC East, yet at the same time, last night's game was not only competitive, it was played well.
It was. The Giants made some mistakes, probably cost themselves that game, including on the final field goal.
That happens in every game. I don't know to the degree in which, if you're Slater, you're dropping the ball in front of the nation. I don't know if it's
that degree. There he is right now, again, on TV.
Exactly right. Mistakes happen in every game.
They do, but to let the opposing kicker try that game-winning kick twice, that's not great at the end of the game either.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah, once again, this is what happens, though, when you allow human beings to play. This is what happens. They make mistakes.
And here, this is where you always say fantasy football is ruining the sport. My viewing enjoyment of that game was tarnished by the fact that Washington refuses to give Antonio Gibson the ball near the goal line. I got to be honest. What more does the guy have to show you to prove that he's a good running back in this league?
No, I'm totally with you on that. I have to tell you that I was shocked in regard to the quarterback play that I was watching last night. Daniel Jones against a team that I think is going to have a very, very good defense. Putting up 29 points against that defense, I was a little shocked. I was a little shocked with the defensive line, as a matter of fact, of the Washington football team. What happened there?
I have a theory. In the first half, they told Chase Young, you're not allowed to hit the opposing quarterback. So I don't know if that mentally slows you down a little bit or what.
We're going to talk a lot more about this, but the Giants' offensive line, they played really, really well last night.
Let's shift the focus, though, of course, to the game coming up on Sunday, and we'll dive into all the storylines. We've gotten into quite a few of them over the course of the week, but Wolf, let's start right here because I know this is the one that is probably closest to your heart heading into this game, this week two matchup with the Vikings. Are the Cardinals going to be ready for this one on Sunday?
Yeah, man, it's so early in the season to put this one to the test. It really is. It's so early in the season. The win last week totally changed the perspective, I think, of a lot of people going into week two for the Arizona Cardinals. I think most people, for the most part, if you looked at the schedule, you said to yourself, okay, the Minnesota Vikings at home, you know, maybe that's a win right there for the Arizona Cardinals. I think a lot of people put that in the win column for the Arizona Cardinals, but I don't think people thought that that would make them 2-0 on the season at this point. The Tennessee Titans game now has heightened the import of this game, in my opinion, once again. And this is where you have to start, Basin audience. If you're going to talk about this, you have to start with this game and the fact the Arizona Cardinals have an opportunity to be 2-0 coming off a very impressive win. Hey, listen, they came off a great 2-0 start last season in 2020. and then they lost the next two games. We've been talking about that all week long. I realize that, but you can't say it enough. You can't warn people inside that locker room enough, as far as I'm concerned. 2-0, and all of a sudden, hey, look, it's Detroit and Carolina. All is well. Or was it? It wasn't.
It was not.
And then all of a sudden, you're 6-3 in the Hail Mary, and you are the toast of the NFL. Do you remember that week following?
It was all they played on these TVs.
Oh, my goodness, Luke. They were the toast of the NFL. What are you going to do about it now? Because you're kind of the toast of the NFL after 1 week. How many national broadcasts have you seen talking about Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, that Detroit game is the one from last year that really sticks out to me, because at least, even with the Hail Mary, there was this sort of backlash. It was sort of muted, but it was the, you guys got kind of lucky to win that game. And, you know, the pushback was, okay, they just played Buffalo, who looked like one of the best teams in football. And as you were saying yesterday, yes, there is luck involved on any pass like that.
Yes.
But there's less when it's Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, whatever the percentage is. But at least after that game, there was some pushback. It was, yeah, the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs. We're 6-3. But yeah, that game was a little bit weird at the end. When they started 2-0, especially beating San Francisco, when San Francisco was relatively whole in week one, and then went out there and just looked like they thought the Detroit game was over before it started, that is what you need to avoid both this week and next week, to be honest.
So, see, there's a lot of guys walking around that locker room right now, and I will tell you, I believe the leadership is in that locker room for the Arizona Cardinals to make this team come out and be more desperate than the Minnesota Vikings might be. Yeah, that's the charge right now for J.J. Watt, Rodney Hudson, A.J. Green, Colt McCoy, these guys that you brought in, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, that and these guys that you brought, Buda Baker, Chandler Jones, these guys need to be walking around and not only saying, hey, this is what we expect, but we're going to double down on it. This is our first home game here at home. We're going to come out here. I don't care what the Minnesota Vikings do. I don't care how desperate they are. They're not nearly as desperate as we are to defend our turf. And that means we all have to go out and ball. Luke, I'm telling you, this is a game where I'm watching that first quarter. I want to see how ready this team is ready to play. I want to see if they're ready to play. I want to see just how ready they are to go out and do what they need to do, because that's going to speak directly to the leaders they got in that locker room.
This is Steve Keim from almost 6 full months ago now. This is March 22nd, talking about the Cardinals' offseason.
Yeah, two of our offseason goals, I think, that really stand out to me was becoming more physical as a football team and adding leadership to our locker room. And I think that those three guys all bring not only the physicality of the game, but the leadership and the intangibles you look for to, in many respects, I call it self-policing your locker room, which, you know, we can't go home with these guys at night. We can't tell them how much tape to watch. They have to do it on their own. They have to have the passion and the want to. And those three additions, certainly in my opinion, have really raised the bar for us in that respect.
So that's 6 months ago. And look, if you go out there and win on Sunday, you didn't win the Super Bowl. There's still 15 more regular season games plus playoffs. But you have a chance. And Wolf, I know you feel this way. In week one, you showed you're a much more physical team than you were a year ago. Now this week, you have a chance to show that you have fulfilled that goal of adding leadership to the locker room.
There it is.
What a way, if you could do it, what a way to start the season, not only going 2-0, beating Patrick Peterson, and instantly showing that what you did in the offseason is coming to fruition. Now, again, you got to do it for the whole season. But this is as much as you could ask for in terms of an opportunity within the first 2 weeks.
What are the odds? What are the odds that this is going to happen in the first 2 weeks of the season? You had Steve Keim in the offseason saying what he just said about the physicality and the leadership. And then the first two games of the season, guess what? The physicality was on display in the Tennessee Titans game. It was totally on display for everybody to see. Check that box. And now all of a sudden, can you do it again? Can you do it again against a very, very similar team with a similar defense, with a similar offense, very, very similar? Can you do it again? Now that's the leadership box that is going to get checked this week. And that's why I'm so fascinated, Luke, to see that first quarter of this game. How do they come out of the tunnel? Are they ready to ball? Man, I cannot wait to see it.
Text Red Sea right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 135 and 335, and you could see it in person. You could win a pair of tickets to the Cardinals' home opener on Sunday, plus one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up, could Tom Brady really play until he's 50? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, so Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl last year. Buccaneers are already 1-0 this year.
No.
He's won, what, 7 Super Bowls now at this point?
Yeah.
Wolf, I'm just going to play...
It's wrong.
It's not right, whatever it is.
It isn't.
I'm going to play you this clip, and then we're just going to get your reaction. Okay, we're just going to go from there.
So this is...
It's from the Tommy and Gronky show. So based on just the title, I know it feels like the show where they give away the Nickelodeon most valuable player. That's Tommy and Gronky. But no. It is Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Are you serious?
No, it's just that's what the name sounds like.
No, the Tommy Gronky. I'm saying, are you serious?
Yeah, that's what really what it is. It. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. You think I can make that up?
Oh, Tommy and Gronky. Okay.
Tommy and Gronky. Here we go.
Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50? Like 50 years old?
Yeah. 50.
50.
You're 44. That's 6 more years.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus, in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state. So I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
You know, there's a little spin to that question. I think it's, will Giselle let Tom play till 50? That's the real question.
That is a way better question. And in fact, why would they not Google that? I think they should. That was, of course, no.
Maybe
that answer.
I'm so smart, I'm the Google master now.
I'm just kidding.
Now.
I'm sorry, babe. I love you. You would let me. You'd let me do anything as long as I'm happy.
Was that Gronky saying that at the end? No, that was Tommy saying that at the end right there. Gronky asked the Giselle question, correct?
Yes, and he's also Gronky. The one that, if you see the video, is very proud of himself that he made the difference between 44 and 56. He's very happy with himself.
Okay, you know what? I understand that. I have a little empathy for that, as a matter of fact. The question, though, is fascinating, is it not? Can Tom Brady play until he's 50? Raise your hand right now if you want to see that. I'm raising it right now. Okay, Jesse.
I don't want to see it.
Okay, Jesse's girl. We don't have Maloney back there. Okay, you don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it.
Okay, why?
Because here's the two things. Look, it would be impressive. I'll give you that. But either
50 years old.
Well, either he's playing at 50 and he's still really good, which on some level I would just be so sick of it. Or, and this is the flip side, if he's playing at 50, I don't want him to look like he's hanging on just to hit a number.
Well, no, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. But if, in fact, he was playing like he's playing right now and he was 50 years old,
I mean,
can you,
would be pretty ridiculous.
Can you imagine? First of all, there's no human being in the history of the game of football. I don't care where football is being played in the universe. There's nobody, no living creature whatsoever, that would be able to throw for more yards than Tom Brady has thrown for, if in fact he's playing until he's 50. Think of all the records that he will own as a quarterback, and nobody will ever get there again. Because we're going to nuke each other into oblivion.
If he were 50, like next season,
yes,
and it was like, hey, he's going to do it, and you know what, Brady's going to win the Super Bowl at age 50, and he's going to be a big part of it. They're not going to like be carrying him down the field, and then I'd be interested in seeing it. It's more the I don't want to watch Tom Brady win Super Bowls for the next 6 years to get to that point. I'm just kind of over it. I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, you know, okay, so what do you think? You think Tom Brady, if he's not in the Super Bowl, he's going to quit the next year? Do you think he'll finally retire? It's just going to take one.
No.
It's going to no. I don't think so either.
Would you be shocked if he played until he was 50? I really wouldn't.
I honestly would not be shocked. What I am a little shocked about in regard to Tom Brady is the fact that he still feels like he has that desire to play until he's 50. That's what's shocking to me. Think of all this guy has already accomplished. Think of everything he's already done.
There isn't anything left to accomplish in the NFL for him. If there was anything, it was last year, and you were talking about this earlier in the week, him going out there and winning a Super Bowl with a different coach that wasn't Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Now, still a loaded team around him and a very good coach.
Yes.
But at least like they separate for a season and he immediately wins a Super Bowl. That he didn't even have to prove that. But that's the only thing. But now, what are you proving? That you can get enough for every finger, enough rings?
And yet that desire is still there.
It's still there.
Why? Why would it still be there? What a rare human being Tom Brady is.
What did he said in that clip, too. I don't want to replay the whole thing, but it was he basically said it's he doesn't find it that hard. Like, how many players around the NFL find every second difficult because it's the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And Brady's just like, yeah, I'm halfway to retiring anyway because I live in Florida. I'm doing this show with Gronky on the side of a field. They're dressed up in, like, Florida retirement outfits.
Okay, so Tommy, Gronky, and Larry, okay? Well, because you've got Tommy also doing a podcast, right, with Jim Gray and Larry.
And Larry.
Okay, that's, man, Tom's just, talk about podcasting.
Maybe he doesn't find it that difficult. Football's like his
side
gig.
Where does he find the time?
What do you do for a side gig, Tom? I just win Super Bowls. But my main job is a serious show with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald.
You know what? Podcasting is cool.
It
That's
is.
What Tom just said.
So you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want if you're Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Also in the NFL, that Hard Knocks announcement last night, and I wouldn't say I was joking when I suggested this the other day, but I didn't really think it was necessarily going to happen. They're going to do in-season Hard Knocks, and they're going to air the episodes during the season, starting in November.
There's no way. That's an impossibility.
And it's a good team.
You're telling me they've already made this announcement?
Yes.
Yes, I could not believe they made that announcement last night. Are you kidding me? It's an impossibility. You're actually going to do that? You're what? How? What kind of access? You know what? I'll reserve judgment on this until I actually see the access that they're given.
I think they're going to get access. I think they are. I don't think they would do it if they're like, hey, here's a sketch of what we think Carson Wentz is saying to his teammates.
And can you imagine right now, you talk about all the paranoid coaches in the game of football. You talk about Bill Belichick. Let's start with Bill Belichick, as a matter of fact. Paranoid for a good reason, because maybe he's doing exactly what he fears you're doing to him, okay? I'm just saying, this guy right here, can you imagine? You've got HBO walking around with cameras, correct?
Yeah,
you got HBO walking around with cameras right now, and they're putting all this stuff together based on what you're going to do to the opponent, whatever that opponent is that week. You think Bill Belichick or coaches like him that are paranoid beyond belief, they want HBO to have unlimited access to what they do? I see this going up in flames.
Can you imagine how bad it would be to be a part of the camera crew that gets the order of, okay, you guys are going to go out, and this year it's going to be Hard Knocks Patriots. You got to follow Bill Belichick around in season.
Yeah.
Cool. That'll be a lot of fun.
We want you to get footage of him walking out of his home, getting into the car, getting ready to go to work.
As he's going to a game on Sunday.
You know they want that shot right there. They want that shot. No, they want it on Wednesday morning. This is a big game. It's a big game plan, right? There's a big game plan this morning. Bill Belichick starts his day at 4. You know, I mean, you could just see this. This is what's going to happen, and there's going to be a camera crew that is there trying to film. Bill, I mean, just no.
This gets better.
This is
no. It
Bill
gets
Belichick
better.
Walks around. Okay, but I just want to say this quickly, and then you can hit your. This gets better. Bill Belichick, his number one thing that he wants you to understand about the opponent in the game coming up, no distractions whatsoever. None. Not one. And now all of a sudden you're talking about HBO walking around with cameras?
The team is the Colts. So
I understand.
Well, but we hadn't said it.
At some point in time, though, they're going to move it. And every team's going to have to.
Yeah, vote. Well, and that's the thing. But just for anybody that's driving around that didn't know what the team is the Colts, and so that is a team that I understand they lost in week 1, but they came into the season with playoff aspirations, and they may very well be in a playoff race.
Right.
This starts airing in mid-November. But I just looked this up as we were talking. They play the Patriots on December 19th.
So wait a minute. It's going to air. They're not going to air it every week. Is that what you're saying?
No, the way I understand it, they are airing it every week. Because when you and I talked about this yesterday going, because they, you know, the NFL said they were going to do an announcement on Hard Knocks at halftime of the game last night. We didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And so you and I were bouncing the idea back and forth. Is it possible that they would do Hard Knocks in season? And the conclusion we kind of both came to was, if they're going to do that, they're not going to air anything until like January, right?
Yes, right?
So an opposing coach can't see, hey, this is what the Colts were doing when they played Houston on December 5th or whatever until the season's over, and it doesn't help them, especially because the Colts are a playoff team. The way I understand this, it's airing weekly starting November 17th.
Well, okay, weekly, November 17th, yet they're going to do it this week? They're actually going to...
I don't think they're filming it yet. I don't think so.
Okay.
But they do play the Patriots on December 19th.
So let's see. Okay, so this is great right here because they're going to wait until November to start actually airing it. So when it gets really thick, getting ready for the playoffs and when you're supposed to make your push, that's when they're going to start airing it on a weekly basis. When it matters the most. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I miss that in that announcement. I miss that. That is stunning.
Again, it's a team that's supposed to be in playoff contention, too.
This is going to be a train wreck.
I kind of agree with you, but I want to see it. Because the only downside to Hard Knocks in the offseason is when it ends, you're like, great, now the season's starting. It's like watching a trailer for a movie, and then you leave right as the movie starts.
Right.
And look, as you said, and we get more into this later on, but I mean,
we need to talk way more about this, Luke, because honestly, I see a disaster coming.
Well, and you hate that they show the cuts during the off-season ones, right?
Oh, yeah.
There are no cuts now.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But now all of a sudden, you're going to be leaking some kind of information that my future opponent is going to be able to actually use as aid, comfort, and shelter.
Yeah, it's surprising. Text us your thoughts right now to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, does Isaiah Simmons have the mentality of Walter Payton? Here with the Cardinals' second-year player said last night on Big Red Rage. That's next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Soul, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I would say, and I don't know about you on this one, Wolf, I think we're probably pretty close to the same page on this one. In terms of that game in week one against the Titans, one of the players on the Cardinals that impressed me the most, because I didn't know for sure what they were getting from him, was Isaiah Simmons.
Yep.
Like Kyler Murray, okay, I know he's capable of what he did. Chandler Jones, I know it's five sacks, but we've seen him play like that before. He just didn't have the actual five sacks to show for it in one game. A lot of the guys that made plays, DeAndre Hopkins, I expect that from him, fair or not. Isaiah Simmons, I didn't know what to expect, and he was very impressive for at least the first week.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. It wasn't just what he did. It was also how he did it. The how always matters to a former player. The how you go about your business, it always matters. And watching Isaiah Simmons play, to me, the how was incredible. I watched him tackle Derrick Henry, not once but twice, by himself in the open field. And I mean, he attacked him. Now, he didn't hit him high. He used his head. It's very, very smart not to attack Derrick Henry high. But Derrick Henry, if you watch him run, have you noticed he's kind of an upright guy? He's an upright guy, right? He's a big guy. He's a tall guy. And he's an upright runner. A guy like Eric Dickerson comes to mind. Except Eric Dickerson wasn't a power runner. But he was very upright when he ran the ball. Derrick Henry is a power runner.
Isn't AP kind of like that too? Isn't Adrian Peterson?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. No doubt. Excellent, Luke. Well done on your part. Look at you, the scout right now, starting to come out.
That's any other scouting questions for me? Because I can't answer them.
Just, you know what? Hey, tweet Luke, okay?
let's do that.
But to me, again, that's Derrick Henry, and yet you saw Isaiah Simmons attack him, come downhill at him, and attack Derrick Henry and make the tackle, and a strong tackle it was. I saw him do that twice on a solo tackle of maybe the most difficult tackle, or certainly the scariest tackle in the NFL. That, boy, did that matter to me, Luke. All tackles are not created equal. And that proved it. Not only did he make plays, Isaiah Simmons, from four different positions, he thinks he played four different positions, and he doesn't think he had a mental error. That was something that he also said on Big Red Rage. But the biggest takeaway that I had was the personality of Isaiah Simmons and how he thinks. It reminded me of Walter Payton.
Yeah, so this is Big Red Rage last night with you and Isaiah Simmons.
I've always been like that. Like, my dad, he would always tell me after my games, he would ask me how I thought I played. And, you know, I could have had a really good game, but I'll probably point out all the negative things before I talk about anything positive. And he's like,
goodness.
Sometimes you got to, you know, just enjoy that you played good. And I'm like, yeah.
See, I asked him that. He talked about he's really tough on himself. He brought that up himself, that he's very, very tough. When he watches film, he's very tough on himself, and that got my attention. And that was the follow-up right there. The follow-up to Isaiah Simmons was, wait a minute, you said you were hard on yourself. Tell me about that. What exactly do you mean? He nitpicks himself. And we went on and had a conversation about this as well. That was the follow-up right there, talking about how he's always been hard on himself. What a great characteristic. For somebody that is as talented as Isaiah Simmons, I'm just here to tell you right now, you couldn't have a better vice than one of picking on yourself. He's going to be a great player, in my opinion, because he's got all of that talent, and yet that's the way he thinks.
Yeah, we played that clip yesterday of J.J. Watt before the game, saying, hey, I need you, basically, to be great today. But now with the context of, you know, Isaiah Simmons is going to hold himself accountable, even separate from teammates holding him accountable. That is, I tell you, of all the players on the Cardinals, I think I'm most encouraged by the developments with Isaiah Simmons over the last week.
Bing, ding, ding.
When you combine what we heard last night, and we'll play some more of it, and what we saw. I mean, if you just have one or the other, okay, great. Like, I could be, you know, Wolf, I'll be honest, I'd be a really harsh critic of myself playing linebacker in the NFL too. But I also don't play linebacker in the NFL. So part of the equation is missing. Simmons plays it. In fact, he played four positions on Sunday.
Yes.
And he played them well.
Yes.
And so for him to say what he said to you last night, coming off his best game of his career, it's encouraging.
Yeah, exactly right. And then you go ahead and you think about it. Right now, think about Isaiah Simmons. The raw, unmitigated talent of Isaiah Simmons. And you're going to tell me he's going to be the guy that holds himself to a standard not even coaches will hold him to? Because he's picking at himself? You tell me that's going to be the reality? If, in fact, Isaiah Simmons is telling the truth, and I have no reason to doubt him, this is the greatest thing. He's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl player because of it.
You mentioned he had said no mental errors in week one, too, which is obviously, you know, assuming the coaches all feel that way, too. That is music to any coach's ears.
I don't think I had any. I don't think I had any.
Are you serious?
Wow. Wow.
You know how good that is, right?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't happen too often, but I feel like it's something that's kind of just expected just with my preparation and how I come into each week.
Listen, how many positions did he play?
He played four. He played four positions, and he played how many snaps? It was 68. It was a lot.
Yeah.
He played a lot of snaps. Let's put it that way. It wasn't the 95 of Jordan Hicks, but it was close.
It was a good percentage. He was out there for a good chunk of the game.
No doubt about it. It was over 90% that he was actually out there on the field. And you're telling me he played four positions and he didn't have a mental error?
That's what he's telling you. He told you.
That's what he said right there. I was, you could hear it. I was jacked because now I'm thinking this is this the maturation? Is this some people need to go through the process. Do you know people like that who need to learn by doing?
Yes.
Do you know people? Yes. Yes.
I'm that guy.
Okay. Yes. There you go. Right there.
Okay. It's easier once you've done it once.
Yes, yeah. Of course. And to hear him actually talk about the fact that, you know what, now all of a sudden this is the way he's going to go about his business, and the fact that he's nitpicking himself and had no mental errors, I I think he is going to be a great player.
And you know as a player if you had mental errors because your coaches will tell you.
So, watch the film. This is the first, put the red dot on you.
And I don't think they're going to keep it a secret.
They put the red dot on you and they go, what are you doing?
Bruce Arians used to tell David Johnson so often that David Johnson would have a great game. And the first thing he'd say to all of us in the media was like, yeah, I know I had the 180 yards. I had this mental error and this mental error and this mental error. Because Bruce Arians was so clear.
And see, that is Walter Payton. That is Walter Payton right there. It's the reason why I was so fired up, because Walter Payton was the most talented running back on the face of the planet, and yet he was his own harshest critic, just like what I heard from Isaiah Simmons. I literally was talking to Walter Payton about a game where he rushed for 150 yards and scored 3 touchdowns. And he said, you know what, Wolf? I get it. You know, the 150 yards and the 3 touchdowns, that's what you see. I see the 3 blocks that I missed.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? That was so profound to me as a young man, listening to this unbelievable Hall of Famer, the best running back ever to play the game, nitpick himself and say, you know what? Yeah, you didn't see the 3 blocks. Nobody was paying Walter Payton money to go block for a running back, Matt Sui. Nobody was paying him to do that. And yet that's all he could think of. Man, I'll tell you what, Isaiah Simmons, grow strong. Grow strong, my young crunk brother. Grow strong, because if that is your mentality with that kind of ability, you're going to be a great player.
Coming up, which games will we be watching on Sunday? We give you the 5-star games next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
5-star games. 5-star games. The NFL's best games, as predicted by Ron Wolfley and Luke Lipinski, powered by FanDuel Sportsbook.
All right, Wolf. Easier or harder this week to find 5-star games?
I thought it was easier, really? Because we've already got 1 week under our belts right now. And yes, a lot of the 5-star games, it's still going to be based on the reputation.
Yeah.
Coming into this season, no doubt about it. But at least we've got some tangible numbers in front of us.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I had a harder time finding 5-star games, but let's go ahead and start with what you have, and then I'll jump on if there's any I feel like you missed.
Okay, 5-star games. We have no open for that right now. Is that what we're saying right now?
I mean, we have no. Here, open. I have a number. You want a number? You want number
yeah,
one?
Give me number one. Number one. Something to set it up, Luke.
Number one. Numero uno.
Unbelievable. I'm going to go with the Raiders at the Steelers as a 5-star game. The Raiders beat the Ravens, of course, and the Steelers beat the Bills in week one of the season. Both those teams, they beat 2 playoff teams from a year ago. If the Ravens were playing the Bills this week, that would be a 5-star game. So Raiders, Steelers, both 1-0, yeah, that's a 5-star game to me.
You got me there at the end with that logic. If the Ravens and Bills were playing, it'd be a 5-star game, which almost makes this feel like a 6-star game. I don't know if such a thing exists.
So do you agree with that? Are you going with a 5-star? Is that your 5-star as well, the Raiders at the Steelers?
It is not my favorite game of the weekend, but I did think you were going to say it.
Oh, okay. So I see what you're saying.
But right, it's not there. My favorite.
Okay,
there's a couple
me,
I like
give
more.
Me number two, Luke, please, if you don't mind.
Number two.
Okay, number two, here we go. The 0-1 Tennessee Titans at the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, yes, yes. I understand the Titans. They're a 5-star team. They get the 5 stars, at least from my perspective.
For one more week.
They might be 0-2 to start the season. I understand that. But they get the 5-star going into the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks had problems stopping the run all last year, and their line of scrimmage is going to be challenged by King Henry. There's no doubt about that. Having said that, will the Seahawks do what the Cardinals were able to do against King Henry and the Titans? That is the question. That, and the fact it's an NFC West game, makes it a 5-star game.
Yeah, that one I definitely agree with. I'm trying to find the stat. I don't think I have it in front of me. Maurice Jones-Drew had the stat on Derrick Henry last year. There were 2 games where he rushed for under 65 yards.
Okay.
So, and he obviously just did that against the Cardinals. So he only did it twice last year, and both games coming back, he rushed for like well over 140. Like he just, one of them was close to 200.
Yes.
So when he has a quote off game rushing, he just goes crazy the next week. obviously, it'd be nice if that came against Seattle this week.
The Seahawks, they've had a hard time stopping the run. You know the Tennessee Titans are going to bone up and try to challenge that. But to be fair, so did the Arizona Cardinals last year have a hard time stopping the run.
Before we get to your next game real quick, though, what the Cardinals did to Derrick Henry, is that something that a team like Seattle or a future team is going to look at and be like, oh, that's how you stop
him? They're going to be all over that tape. Oh, yeah, they're going to be all over.
But it's not that easy, though, that, either.
It's not. It's a lot easier said than done. Okay. Yes. Like Chandler Jones. Think of Chandler Jones on the very first play of the game, what he did to jump inside of Taylor Lewan and make that tackle 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage on Derrick Henry. Oh, they targeted him on that play, and they paid the price because they targeted him on that play. But think of that. That's exactly what you need to stop King Henry is penetration. Guys that are great players getting penetration at the point of attack, and the Cardinals got it over and over and over again.
You haven't gotten to my definitive five-star game left yet.
You haven't left, right? Exactly. You want me to go?
Here, I'll throw a number.
Number three.
Okay, you want me to go?
I would assume, unless we're going to say it at the same time.
Chiefs-Ravens.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. Chiefs at Ravens right there. Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, and those are your five-star games.
Okay, I got a couple I might throw in there with them. Admittedly, these to me are 4.5-star games. Honestly, Kansas City, Baltimore, based on the criteria that you were using last week and how just scared you got me to ever have a 5-star game unless it's the Super Bowl. Chiefs, Ravens was the only one I saw this week. I do like Tennessee, Seattle. I kind of like Buffalo, Miami, because there is a real chance that the Bills, who a lot of people believe are Super Bowl contenders this year, they might go 0-2 to start the season.
I don't believe that. I'll believe that when I see it.
All right.
Miami, really? You think that?
I don't know. Miami at home. Miami somehow is winning games.
Well, the Miami Dolphins. I'll buy that first week performance.
I like Brian Flores.
Come October.
But I do like their coach. Miami's coach.
I do. Absolutely. Love Brian Flores.
If you're telling me I got to pick a winner, I'm pretty comfortably picking Buffalo. But honestly, Kansas City, Baltimore, if you tell me I got to pick a winner, I'm pretty comfortably picking Kansas City. So I would say that one maybe gets considered. And this isn't a 5-star game, but I'm interested in it. San Francisco, Philadelphia. Is it possible I'm just completely overlooking Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think we all are.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because they're playing San Francisco. I mean, the 49ers, I just think that defense is going to shut them down. But once again, watching the Washington football team play last night, I was really disappointed because that defense, I thought that defense was a lot better than what I saw last night. They did not play well.
I don't know that we're going to be able to get to this later in the show, so let me throw this at you real quick before we wrap up 5-star games.
Yeah.
Of the other NFC West games, so that's Rams at Colts, Seattle hosting Tennessee,
yeah,
and then San Francisco, Philadelphia. San Francisco on the road, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Which of those NFC West teams do you think is most likely to lose?
That is great, right?
That's a tough one, right?
You know what, honestly, just turn your mic off and walk out.
Right, okay? To the Radio Hall of Fame?
Just... You nailed it right there, Luke. I'm going to go San Francisco.
Right?
Yeah, the 49ers on the road against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts. Wild card. Oh, the wild steed that Jalen Hurts is. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I could see that happening.
I could see that. That would be my first pick. I could maybe even see Tennessee, just because they don't want to start 0-2 if they're really that good, finding a way, although it's tough in Seattle. I don't see the Colts beating the Rams.
No, I don't see that either.
No.
Especially after the hard knock news. It's not going to go well.
They're already going to be acting for the cameras that aren't even
seriously,
there.
They're going to be acting. I was only acting!
They should act like a better team this week than they did last week.
Oh, that was good.
All right, coming back, how is Patrick Peterson approaching his return to State Farm Stadium? It's about 48 hours away. That's next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.